Hello again and welcome back. For almost 100 years, St. Louis-based Optimist International has been undertaking its mission of helping and supporting young people in myriad programs, including various scholarship competitions. An international oratorical competition is being held here in St. Louis today and tomorrow. It's the first world oratorical championship being held for young people 18 years old and younger. This is in partnership with St. Louis University. Scores of young people will be competing here and via live video streaming. Joining me to talk about the competition and what's at stake are David Bruns, president of Optimist International. His wife, retired SLU professor Dr. Diana Carlin, chairs the World Oratorical Championship.
And I'm not his wife.
You're not? Well, maybe we can bring in a preacher and get things going here. What do you think? I don't know where that came from.
I do work with her husband now, so
really?
That could be where it came from.
Well, whatever, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to have paired you up two together, but thank you for clarifying. And Charlie Dougal is a 12-year-old student from Georgia competing in the competition this year. Now that we've got all of this squared away, you are a former professor at St. Louis University.
I'm professor emeritus,
okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know, I'm batting .500. If I were a baseball player, I'd be making $50 million a year if I could do that. Thank you all for coming in and taking time from the competition, which is going on right now. Diana, how is it going?
It's going remarkably well. You know, we have about half the contestants here live with us in St. Louis. The other ones are coming in via technology on the big screen. We've only had a couple glitches, but we've been running pretty much on schedule, and the speeches are excellent. The judges are having a great time, so we're happy.
Tell me something of the format and the process. I mean, I think 130-plus people are going to be involved in this overall.
We have about that many here. That includes some of the family members. There are eight, and Dave, you can jump in if I get some of the Optimist stuff wrong. There are eight regions that we have going, including a world region. Those were all taped ahead of time. They're from India, Afghanistan, Myanmar, Haiti, and Belize. And so our judges are judging them at the moment. Then the other Optimist regions, we will select a winner from each of those regions. These were local contest winners. Charlie was a district winner within his region, so the region will have anywhere from 5 to 7 district winners, and then we'll pick a regional winner from each of these eight, and then tomorrow we'll have the final round of those eight students.
And Charlie, are you involved in tomorrow's final round, if I've understood this?
Well, I don't know yet, but I sure do hope so.
Pretty exciting for you, I'm sure.
It's amazing. I can't believe I got this far.
What happened to your Georgia accent, by the way?
I don't have an accent. I actually lived in Pittsburgh for 2 years, so I actually consider myself a bit more of a northerner, but...
What is the subject, was the subject of your speech?
The speech's topic is how my best brings out the best in others.
Oh, well, that's an interesting subject.
Yes.
And how does it?
Well, my speech is about the time that I actually got the lead role in a play and how... Everything was going fine and play was great, but one kid forgot his line in the middle of the show. And I had to help him first I had to actually keep the show going and remind him of the line, but then I helped him practice the line and get it right so that the next shows he could keep the show going.
For you. Way to go. David, let's talk a little bit about this money. There's a lot of money involved for some of the contestants. Tell us about that part of it.
At the district level, each contestant would have received a $2,500 scholarship. Actually, we give two per district. We have 49 districts in Optimist International. The regional winners, the eight Optimist region and the global region, each of them will receive an additional $5,000 scholarship. And then the first three places tomorrow, the winner will receive an additional $15,000 scholarship, second place $10,000 scholarship, and third place $5,000. So the total that the ultimate world champion will receive would be $22,500.
Boy, that's terrific. That's worth about half a year at some of the big universities.
That's right.
But every little bit.
My daughter just graduated from Emory University, and I can tell you it was quite expensive there.
No question about it. Where does the money come from?
From people that donate. We have an Optimist International Foundation and a Canadian Children's Optimist Foundation. And so from individuals, corporations, and foundations, And all the money that we receive goes directly to the scholarships. And I think that's a unique thing as opposed to administrative cost.
Yeah. Why is this important? Why is this important for young people and the participants, Diana?
Well, if you look at dozens, maybe even more than dozens of studies of what employers are looking at in people they hire, at the top of almost every list is communication skills. And what this contest does is provide these students as young as 12, Charlie here, some even younger, an opportunity to write a speech, to communicate it, to work with an audience, to get over a little bit of stage fright, but that carries on into a lot of other aspects of their lives. Public speaking is one of the things people fear the most, and so if we can get them over it early, it's really a great thing.
It is very close to the top of the list for most people. Charlie, was that an issue for you, public speaking, getting in front of a crowd? You've been in a play, so that's kind of the same thing.
I do theater, so actually getting on a stage and being in a play, I mean, I've done that for a long time, so it wasn't that hard. But public speaking is, well, it's very different because you're not in costume. You're not playing a character. This is yourself. So it was a bit hard for me, and I always get nervous before doing one of these competitions. But I feel now, and especially thanks to this competition, that I'm definitely a better public speaker because of it.
You've done other competitions as well, oratorical?
Well, I did a little mini oratorical competition last year for fifth graders.
How do you prepare for it?
Well, I just practice my speech. I mean, pray, just...
You write it?
Yes.
And practice it?
Yes. I've written it many times over now and practice it again and again. But now I've done it enough times that I think I have my speech pretty well down.
To be sure I understand, you're going to make another speech before all of this is over. Is that correct?
No, it's the same speech each time. But
you do have to do it again.
I do.
Yeah. Well, you've told us what your subject matter is. Diana, what are some of the other things that these young people are writing about?
Well, they all have the same subject.
Oh, they do?
Every year, Optimist comes up with a subject. And it's, you know, usually something pretty uplifting. And then it's up to the student to interpret it. So every one of these students has approached this topic totally different ways. So, you know, it is a way, as Charlie said, of showing something about themselves, their personality, what their values are. They have to write it. It has to be original to the student. If they use quoted material, they obviously have to indicate who that's from. So it's giving them that writing experience, but it's a chance for them to share something about themselves.
And this, again, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure you will. This is the first international oratorical competition of this sort?
Yes. Typically, they have the local contest, then they go to the district, and it's usually stopped at the district simply because there hasn't been the funding or the ability to do this because not everyone could afford to come to a single place. So when we developed the Center for Global Citizenship at St. Louis University, we have a big screen and we have the ability through technology to bring people in from anywhere in the world. So it was actually my husband who works with Judge Bruns who came up with the idea that we could do this remotely, and then St. Louis University was excited to host it. So until we had the technology in place, it really wasn't an affordable type of thing to do. And I should really say, too, that in addition to the scholarships, these local Optimist clubs in the districts have raised money to bring these kids here also, many of them. So it's been an effort of many people to make this happen.
I think I'm beginning to understand how I made that mistake in marrying you
off to David over here.
I misread something that put the two of them together in Kansas, right?
Uh-huh. Right. Diana's husband and I are both judges on the Kansas Court of Appeals.
Tell us a little bit about the organization and why it's doing this kind of thing or these kinds of things. You're multifaceted, obviously.
Well, Optimist International has 85,000 youth and adult members across primarily North America, but we're in 20 nations. We've just recently added clubs in Thailand and Morocco. So being an international organization, that's one of the reasons that we wanted to have the World Championships. But the primary reason is Optimist means, it comes from the word Latin word optimum, the best. And we wanted to take something that we were already good at. The Optimist Oratorical Contest started in 1928 at the local level and wanted to become the best in the world at it. Because our mission is to work and to bring out the best in youth and the communities and ourselves. And we always believe in taking action right here, right now. And so when Diana's husband and I had the conversation about perhaps expanding to an international level, we just ran with it.
And how complicated is it to set up something like that?
It's very complicated, but first you need good partnerships. Uh-huh. And the first thing we did is Optimist International Headquarters, as you may know, is just down the street from St. Louis University.
Pass it every day.
And so the first thing we did is we set up a meeting between Optimist International, our foundations, and St. Louis University and created a partnership. And but for that partnership, this would not have been able to take place so soon.
Can you point to any specific kind of success stories that you can directly attribute to the organization and competitions like this one?
Well, one in particular, a lot of your listeners probably know Neil Patrick Harris. We know him better as Doogie Howser.
Sure.
Charlie would probably know him on How I Met Your Mother. He was discovered at an Optimist Oratorical Contest in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And in his autobiography, he writes about that experience. Like Charlie, he practiced in front of the mirror giving his speech, and he refers to his mother in the book as Optimom.
Yeah. I get it. Charlie, what do you think about this? Is that an ambition you might have, is to one day be Doogie Howser too?
Maybe. I mean, I do acting, and actually last year I had a little segment in my speech about Neil Patrick Harris and how he's one of my role models, and then I found out he actually did the Optimist International Oratorical Speech Contest, so that was really surprising to me, and hey, maybe one day I'll end up being as famous as him.
Maybe one day you will. You win tomorrow, and who knows? Who knows what can possibly happen? What are your education ambitions? I mean, if you can take home some scholarship money, do you have any idea of how you'd put that to use?
Well, probably St. Louis College.
Oh?
Yeah. I'm recruiting.
Oh, you are.
She is.
Well, tell me more about this partnership with St. Louis University. Is there that kind of a tie that scholarship money would be tied to this university?
The students can use the scholarship money anywhere in the world. Mm. And so, you know, some of our international students may stay in their own country, but it may give them an opportunity. And certainly we would love for them to use some of that at St. Louis sure. University.
Yeah.
But this has been an opportunity, I think, for a lot of the students and their parents or other representatives who brought them here to see this city in ways they would never have had an opportunity to, and to find out about St. Louis University. You know, we're a flyover state, and so we...
So they say.
But we're putting ourselves, you know, we're on the map in a lot of ways, but this is another way to get some attention.
Well, the universities, for one thing, have put it on the map big
time. Right.
There's no question about that.
Yeah.
The question I have about the competition, the age range goes up to 18 years old. Is it 12 to 18? Is that... Right.
Actually, I think you've had some younger.
In the Kansas district, we had a fifth grade winner a few years ago, so I would imagine around 10. So there's not really a minimum age, but the maximum age is 18.
This is quite a contrast, I'm sure, in the presentations, an 18-year-old versus a 10-year-old.
Yeah, it actually does make a difference, but some of these younger kids are very dynamic, and you know, a lot of it is the sincerity, a lot of it's the content. I was talking to some of the judges, and we have mainly individuals who teach public speaking who are judging, who are saying, you know, they looked at content a lot. And so while the delivery might be a little more mature, if the content is solid, these younger kids can compete quite well.
Where do you find them, or do they find you?
The
kids, the contestants.
Well, the local Optimist clubs. I used to teach high school, and they would send information to all the high school speech teachers, and I think probably a lot of them still do that. You know, it's been around for 80-some years, so people are familiar, and I would just ask students of mine if they were interested. I think a lot of people do that. It was kind of a regular thing for me every year was to send students to the local contest. And Charlie, you can, I guess, tell us how you found out about it.
Well, it's actually part of our curriculum at my school and in my county, actually, just the entirety of where I live. It's actually just a part of the curriculum. We all write a speech, and somebody gets picked to go up and actually compete in the competition, and that was me this year, and, well, it's landed me here, so that's pretty good.
How do your peers react to you and the success that you've had?
Well, I think they were really happy for me. They didn't really realize that just writing a speech or something could actually get you to something like this? I mean, I'm sure now they were kind of annoyed of hearing that I won again, but there's been a lot of competition, so constantly, but, and I've had to say my speech for a lot of teachers, so they've gotten a little bored of it by now, but they still are very
impressed. You don't really think that they're annoyed with you, do you?
No, but, I mean, I don't know. I've said it at least 50 times now, so.
Do you read the speech, or have you memorized it? 50 times, you've probably memorized it by now.
I've memorized it, yes.
Diana, is that part of the process, is that you must have it memorized?
They don't have to have it memorized, right. But most of them, the winners at this stage all have it memorized. In fact, most of them don't even want to stand behind a podium. They want a lavalier mic. They want to be able to move around and really get closer to the audience. I think one other thing that's interesting about this is that because some of our competitors are coming in remotely, the judges are not in the room with the students. Mm-hmm. They're watching everybody online. So we have an even playing field, but they have audiences where they're giving them, and then these students here are giving them in front of an audience. But almost everybody's kind of moving around and making connections.
And it's a multilingual kind of thing, from what I understand.
Yes. Optimist has two official languages, French and English. Mm-hmm. So at 1:30, there will be a competition up in Canada, which will be judged up there with all the French speakers. And then our Haitian student is also competing in French, and I have some French speakers judging that along with all these other students who are competing in English. Mm-hmm. So we have translations for judges who are not bilingual.
Sounds very colorful.
It is.
Yeah. David, let me come back to you with regard to the other things that Optimist International is doing. There are other competitions. Tell us about some of the other things you've got going.
Yes, we're active in communication scholarship programs. So in addition to the oratorical contest, we also have a communication contest for the deaf and hard of hearing. We have an essay contest, creative writing as well. In the area of sports, we have the Optimist International World Championship Junior Golf Tournament held at PGA National in West Palm Beach, Florida each July. And in November, we have the Tournament of Champions, so junior golfers who have won tournaments around the world advance to that. We're also active in the fight against childhood cancer. We have an endowed fellowship at Johns Hopkins University. And then leadership training for people, young leaders like Charlie. We have a junior optimist organization with 15,000 members. And we also work with the Hugh O'Brien Foundation for training young leaders for the future.
Boy, that's quite an incredible list of things that you've got going for it. And I suppose you're always looking to make it grow.
Indeed.
Uh-huh. Anything on the drawing board that you can talk about?
It is. We, as your listeners probably know, a lot of service clubs over the last few years have declined in memberships. So we've really reached out to young professionals. And I've appointed an ad hoc young professionals committee. We've started clubs now that instead of meeting traditionally at lunch or breakfast, they meet socially and then get together for service projects. Because the primary purpose is to do service for the youth. And how we do that, we need to adapt to a modern society.
How have young people changed? How long have you been with Optimist?
I joined in 1983 when I was 23 years old, so I've been with it a long time.
How have the young people changed over that period of time, or have they?
Well, I think that we went after the boomers. I'm kind of the last of the boomers who were joiners. After that, we had a whole segment, a generation. There was the book called Bowling Alone, and people who did not want to join. But the so-called millennials, who I think I prefer to call young professionals, I believe they have a lot of the values that we have. They want to do the community service. They want to join our cause. They just want to do it in a way maybe different than their grandparents.
Have you noticed, Diana, any change over time?
Well, I think one of the biggest changes, it's a little what Dave talked about, is that you do have this group in the middle there that mm-hmm. hasn't wanted to join. But most of the students now have been involved in community service. You know, at St. Louis University, our students and staff and faculty do over 1 million hours
wow.
of community service a year. They've been recognized by the White House for the last few years as one of the top. So I agree, this is a group that wants service, but they also don't want to do things, they don't want to be tied down to a meeting every week. They have very busy lives. So the fact that Optimist is adapting, I think, is a very good thing.
Charlie, does this, what has just been described, is this you?
I guess so. I mean, I am part of that generation, so
Yes, you are. Well, we're going to have to end it here and wish you best of luck as this whole process unfolds. Thank you very much, Charlie Dougal, for being with us.
Thank you, David Bruns,
thank you for being with us.
Continue
the good work with Optimist. And Diana Carlin, now that I've gotten you married off to somebody else, thank you for being with us. No. I know you've got to go right back to work, don't you?
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Great talking to you. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.